You ought to familiarize yourself with Romans chapter 6, chapter 7, and chapter number 8. Those are three chapters that will absolutely change your life if you can get a hold of the truths that are therein. But we're in chapter number 8. If you'd like to stand in reverence to the scripture, chapter number 8, verse number 1. We'll read verse number 1 for sake of time. And then have prayer, and you can be seated. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Let's bow for a moment of prayer. Father, we come in Jesus' name. Lord, I want to thank you for your amazing, marvelous grace that is always sufficient and is always on time. We pray, Lord, that you'll bring to my mind and my attention things, Lord, that I need to say, verses that I need to refer to or quote or read. Lord, I pray that you'll help me to be your mouthpiece this morning. We pray for that special oil, special touch, God, that makes preaching effective. Lord, I don't want to just look like I'm preaching, sound like I'm preaching, act like I'm preaching. But I know, Lord, for a fact that if there's no results and no effects upon the listeners, dear Father, that will feed us, fire us up, challenge us, encourage us, convict us, whatever it is that we need. If there's no effects, then my preaching was in vain this morning. Lord, I ask that you would help us to be spiritually minded this morning. Help me, I pray, to be a man of keen discernment this morning as I endeavor to preach the Word of God. Lord, we have lost people in our midst this morning, and we are certainly honored that they are here. Lord, I want to thank you that, Lord, instead of being somewhere else, Lord, they're here this morning. And Lord, they're in a good place because you're here. And your word is here. Your spirit is here. And Lord, there's testimony after testimony here, Lord, of people who have received you and have their lives changed as a result. We ask now that your will would be done, Father, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Romans chapter number 8 is known as the spirit chapter in the Bible. If you want to know something about the Holy Spirit, and I'd encourage everybody that's saved to embark on that, to know something about the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is in you if you're saved. If he's not in you, you're not saved, according to Romans 8 and verse number 9. But you ought to learn to know something about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, what he's up to and what he's for and what he's about and his desires in your life. Amen? A lot of people today claim to be saved, and seemingly there's no fruit evidence, no visible indication that the Spirit of God is in their life working. I wonder about that. I've even asked that a time or two. Where's the Spirit of God? I know you told me what you did. I know you told me this and you told me that. But where is the Holy Ghost in all of that? What was the Spirit of God doing in you? Amen. Where's the conviction at? But anyway, let's look at Romans 8. I've been preaching, I don't know, this may be our third message or third part of a message, maybe the fourth part, I don't even remember now, but upon the subject, salvation from condemnation. Salvation from condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Let me just say a quick word right here. If you're expecting and desiring to go in to heaven, you have got to be in Christ. Are you listening? You can be in church and not be in Christ. You can be a good moral person and not be in Christ. You can be sincere and not be in Christ. In fact, there's only one way to get into Christ. And that is when the Spirit of God takes a repenting, believing sinner. And the Bible says it baptizes them. That's not water baptism. But he baptizes them into the body of Christ. That's how you get into Christ. And as a testimony and a witness of you being in Christ, the Spirit of Christ is in you. Amen? If you don't have the Spirit of Christ in you, then you are none of His, is what the Bible says. But I'm interested in this, and we've looked at several things so far. We've looked in verse number 1, if you'll note here in the verse. We looked at first the now of this salvation. There is therefore now no condemnation. Thank God for that now salvation. How many is glad of that? I'm not having to wait. I'm not having to wonder how it's going to turn out. No. I've asked people before, are you saved? And they say, well, I don't know. I have to wait till the judgment. Well, that may be too late. It may be too late to find out. In fact, if you don't have a salvation that lets you know now, I don't know if I'd trust it. Amen? 1 John chapter 5 tells us very plainly, these things have I written unto you that believe, that you may know that you have eternal life. You can, listen, the Bible salvation is a no-so salvation. You'll know it. It'll be a reality to you. Amen? But there's the now of salvation. And then look on at the very next word in chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation. So not only is there the now of salvation, there's the no of salvation. I was thinking this morning as I was reading and meditating some more upon these scriptures that there's nothing more pleasant to my ears this morning than those two words, no condemnation. My goodness, no condemning evidence. Thank God, Jesus Christ, my heavenly lawyer, my heavenly mediator, my heavenly go-between has done away with all the evidence. And listen, he didn't just do away with all the evidence by just tearing it up and just saying, well, we're just going to let them off the hook. Did you know God cannot forgive anybody apart from the penalty being paid? Amen. That's right. I've heard Brother Mark say that numerous times teaching. He said, God cannot forgive without a payment. See, sometimes, for instance, let's just say that Brother Brian owed me $10, okay? I could say to Brother Brian, I forgive you of that debt, but somebody still had to eat that $10. He got off the hook, but I'm the one that ate the $10. You see what I'm saying? For the Lord to be able to forgive you, the payment still had to have been paid for. The debt still had to be paid. I didn't pay it. I couldn't pay it. I didn't have nothing to pay it with. I was bankrupt of righteousness. Are you listening? But thank God, God knew that. And He provided Himself a sacrifice so that I could be saved. And His name is Jesus. So there's the now of salvation. You can be saved now. You can be saved here this morning. I don't know why you'd want to wait. It's the greatest thing going. Everything for nothing. Give up hell for heaven. Give up sin for righteousness. Amen. Go from being an enemy of God to being a friend of God. Walking with God. Amen. Going from a life of no peace to having peace that is unspeakable and full of glory. Hey, why in the world would anybody want to wait? Amen. Just get in. Just get in. That's all. Amen. The door's open. Jesus said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. It's open today. You can get in. I thought I'd tell you that. In fact, the Lord wanted me to tell you that. Amen. Amen. The now of salvation, the no of salvation, the no of condemnation. And then there we noticed last week, I believe it was last Sunday morning, we started talking about the not of salvation. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Look at it. Who walk not. There's our not. The not of salvation. Now we can shout about the now of salvation. We can shout about the no of salvation. I want to tell you what, I believe we can rejoice in the not of salvation. Amen? I believe that. I wrote this down so I wouldn't forget it. I wrote this down, the no of salvation, N-O, no condemnation. The no of salvation is important in heaven before God. That's where the condemnation had to be removed, was before God. My sins and my transgressions was before God, right? Against God. So no condemnation is important for me in heaven before God. But the not, N-O-T, the not of salvation is important on earth before men. Men can't see the no part. God sees that no condemnation. Men can't see that. So how will they know of a person that is saved and are in Christ Jesus? He says, by this knot that he's fixing to identify. He says, here it is, who walk not after the flesh. Now I want to tell you, friend, I've been saved a good long while. I've been preaching many years. And I want to tell you, that right there needs to be preached in every church I go in. That's right. Who walk not after the flesh. The word walk there has to do with your conduct, your manner of life, your behavior, your course, your direction. Amen. Everything that makes up you is identified in that word walk. He said the first thing that to identify a Christian on earth is a negative, and that is that their walk has been changed. They walk not after the flesh. What do you say, preacher? What does it mean to walk after the flesh? Look down in verse number 5. I believe the Bible defines it very clearly. Verse number 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. I believe that right there is a definition of what it means to walk after the flesh. That is, you're after the flesh and you are minding, or that you are obedient to what the flesh wants. And your flesh is your human nature, your fallen, Adamic, sin-loving, sinful nature. Amen? If you're after the flesh this morning, then you're probably still of the flesh. You probably have never been saved. Amen. God saves you. He loves you. But I want to tell you, He'll change your life. He said He'd do that. Oh, yes. The word no, I wrote this down. The word, the no of salvation has to do with my justification before God. But the not of salvation, as I'm dealing with right now, has to do with my sanctification. Oh, yeah. You don't hear too much preaching on that. I promise you that. There's not too many preachers anywhere, anytime in our day that's going to preach biblical sanctification. It's not going to do it. You know why? You can't deal with that without dealing with sin. You can't deal with that subject without dealing with Christ-likeness. You can't deal with that subject without dealing with separation and holiness and purity and a changed walk. Say amen right there. And a lot of preachers ain't going to preach it because they themselves are not walking it. I found that to be true in life. A preacher that never preaches against sin is in it. That's right. Or else his wife and children are, and they put the fear in him, and he's afraid to say anything because mama will get him when he gets home. Hey, man. That's right. And my wife's sitting here as well as my son, but I want to tell you, if I ever stoop to that level that my wife controls me and what I preach and what I don't preach, do me a favor and run my tail out of Rogersville. That's on tape. So you've got evidence. Amen? That's right. I'm going to preach the truth Listen, and my wife's not done that. I'm just saying if I ever stoop to that level, and if she ever goes to that level, run us both off. Amen, that's right. We don't deserve to be in the pulpit and leadership if that's the case. Amen? I was a preacher before she came along. And of course, she encourages me to preach the Word of God, and we're going to do that. But anyway, I don't need to get on that. I can't hardly get on that without squeezing some juice out of it. But the know of salvation has to do with my justification before God. Justified, never sinned. God is able to do away with my sin, as it's been so much sung about and testified about here this morning. The not of salvation deals with my sanctification. The know of salvation deals with what God sees. The not of salvation has to do with what man sees. Walk not after the flesh. Amen. And this is the last one I'll mention on that. The know of salvation deals with my relationship to God. When I got saved, now I know God, then listen, my condemnation was taken away. There's no condemnation. But the walk not after the flesh part, Brother Brian, has to do with my fellowship with God. And I want to tell you, we talk about revival. We talk about the need of revival. Those two things right there must be dealt with. Number one, there must be a relationship with God. A person doesn't need revival who needs to be regenerated, who needs to be born again. They don't need revival. Amen. They need to be saved. There must be a relationship, and then there must be fellowship. I wonder how many this morning, don't raise your hand, don't answer out loud, but just in the honesty of your own heart, I wonder how many this morning are in fellowship with God. Amen? God works through fellowship. But anyway, there's the knot of salvation. The knot of salvation. Amen? Let me give you this right here, and this is right here in chapter number 8. Right here in chapter number 8, if you'll have your Bibles open, we're going to point these verses out. And here's the point I'm after right now, is to show you why you should not walk after the flesh, why that should be eliminated, why you should turn from that. Amen? And these same verses will show you this is why the flesh can't save you. Nothing you can do in your energy of your flesh, the efforts of your flesh, the ingenuity of your flesh, none of those things can save you. Why? Look, note some characteristics of the flesh as revealed in the Bible. Look at chapter number 7. Flip back just one page. Chapter 7, look at verse 18. Paul identifying the nature of his flesh. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Are you looking at that? That's a good reason for you to not walk after the flesh, is because the Bible says, through Paul, the Apostle Paul said that in my flesh, and he's writing this after salvation. I just thought of that. Lord just showed that to me. He's writing this, Brother Williams, years after being saved. And he said, I still want everybody to know that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. It's not just before salvation. It's all the way till the flesh goes back to the dust from whence it came. Amen. No good thing. That's right. That's why you ought to reject walking after it and pursuing it. Is because if it dwells in it dwells no good thing. If that's the case, then everything it wants is no good. Say amen. Well, boy, that's good preaching material right there, but we'll go on. Here's you something else to think about. And this is, you don't have to turn there, but I do want to quote it. In John chapter number 3, Jesus talking to Nicodemus on the subject of being born again. Here's what Jesus said about the flesh. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. In other words, one of the reasons I should never walk after the flesh, a person should never depend on the flesh to get saved, is because the flesh cannot produce nothing but flesh. The flesh is flesh. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. No matter what you do to it to try to make it religious, it don't matter. What you do to it, the end result, the end conclusion is still this. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. So we shouldn't walk after the flesh because that's all it can ever be. It cannot be anything else. Jesus said one other thing, and then we're going to get right here in chapter 8 on these other ones. Jesus said this in John 6 in verse number 63. The flesh profiteth nothing. So why would a believer want to walk after the flesh, pursue the desires and appetites of the flesh, that which caters to the fallen nature of man? Why would we want to do that when Jesus said, the flesh profiteth nothing? Amen. Here's you another one. Look at chapter 8 of Romans. I'm just going to reference these because God gave them to me, showed them to me as I was reading this chapter. Look at chapter 8 in verse number 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. You see that? What the law could not do, why? Because of the weakness of the flesh. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, my friend talked to the disciples about the spirit being willing, but the flesh is weak. So why should I not walk after the flesh? Why should I reject that life? It's because it is that life of weakness. And it keeps the scriptures from being fulfilled in my life. Amen. I think that's why a lot of people have made Christianity such a burdensome life. Is that you're trying to do the do's and do the don'ts in the energy of the flesh. Say amen right there. 1 John chapter 5 talks about the commandments of God are not grievous. The commandments of God, everything God says don't do, everything God says to do, all the commandments of God are not grievous. They're not burdensome. They will not take your joy. They will not weigh you down. Amen. Well, preacher, I would give up this and stop that and start this, and I would be interested in sanctification, but I'd never have no joy. You got to be kidding me. You know, amen. The grievance comes when you ignore the scripture, ignore the commandments of God. But anyway, there's you another reason. The flesh is weak. Chapter 8, verse 3. Look at verse 5. Everybody there? Two verses later. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. In other words, your flesh will serve as a master over you. You're after the flesh, then guess what it said you'll do if you're after the flesh? In that verse, what does it say? You'll mind it. And I learned early in life when Daddy would say, you better mind me, boy. I found out the word mind means obedience. Huh? Whatever the flesh says, you'll mind it. If the flesh says don't go to church, you'll mind it. If the flesh says, you know, go out and do whatever, you'll mind it. That's why you should walk. Listen, you should say to your flesh, which is your number one enemy, you ought to say to your flesh, you are not my master. Jesus Christ is my master. Amen. Your flesh will master you. What a message right there in that statement. Your flesh will master you. And we all know people that have went beyond what they ever thought they would because of it. When they first started tasting alcohol, they thought, well, I'll never be an alcoholic. I won't ever be under a bridge somewhere homeless. And I'll never be, no, they probably said that at the start. But one drink led to another and another one led to a case and another case. And then next thing you know, it's their life. It's dominating their life. Listen, can I insert something right here that ought to help us all? Your flesh is not your friend. Your flesh is your worst enemy. Your flesh will destroy you and not shed a tear. We all know people that's strung out on addictions of various sorts. Their life is ruined, lost everything, home, job, house, everything, lost dignity, lost everything. Why? Not because of what somebody else done to them, but what they've done to themselves. Popping the pills and smoking the dope and drinking the booze. Your flesh will ruin your life. Your flesh will master you. If you're after the flesh, I want everybody to hear this, and I'm moving on. If you're after the flesh, you're after the desires of the flesh, you will mind the flesh. You will mind it. It'll master you. You'll be obedient to it. Here's you another one, verse 6. Chapter 8, verse number 6. Look what it says. For to be carnally, and that word carnally means fleshly. To be carnally minded is what? Hello. Say it, Brother Ivan. To be carnally or fleshly minded, to think thoughts that cater to what the flesh wants, God defines the outcome of that as D-E-A-T-H, death. You know what's built into me? An avoidance of death. Say amen right there. That's why I got a brake on my car and a steering wheel. Is because if I know, especially if I know it, Brother Brian, think about it. If I know up ahead the bridge is out, do you think that I'm going to put my foot on the gas pedal? Do you think I'm going to say, oh, that may be out for some, but it's not out for me? No, if I know that there's even a potential of death somewhere, I'm going to avoid it. Well, God said to be carnally minded. Hey, amen. Listen, come on, listen. He's not writing there to lost people. Brother Aaron, he's not writing in chapter 8. He's writing to believers in chapter 8. Amen. He's not writing there, listen, to lost people. He's writing to us if we are carnally minded. You know what's killing our churches? It's not the hoodlums out on the street. It's not politicians. It's not the, listen, the sodomites and the lesbians and the LGBT bunch. It's not that crowd. It's not the ragheads. It's not ISIS. You know what's killing our churches? Carnality. Worldly, flesh-minded, flesh-pursuing, professing Christians is what's killing our churches. You say, preacher, you got a verse on that? I just quoted it to you. To be carnally minded is death. And I Brother Carroll, I didn't study it out, didn't think about it just now, but I wonder what death he's talking about there. He's probably talking about spiritually. He said, you get to be carnally minded, you're probably going to die spiritually. In fact, the Lord brought this verse to me. Same chapter. Look at verse number 12 and 13. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. We don't have to. We're not debtors to the flesh. Tell yourself that. Amen. I don't owe you. You don't own me. I'm not a debtor to you to live after the flesh. Look at verse 13. Everybody there? For if we live after the flesh, Paul included himself in that by saying we. If we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But, thank God for the alternative. But if ye through the Spirit, you can't do it apart from the Spirit of God. But he said, but if ye through the Spirit do mortify. Mortify. That's where we get our word mortician. That's where we get our word mortuary. Amen. It's all about death. He said, if you through the Spirit. Thank God the Spirit of God in you will, listen, give you emancipation. God will set you free. Amen. From the controls of the flesh. We can live for God. Amen. Hallelujah. We can live for the Lord. If we do through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Say amen right there. Here we go. Wasn't aiming to spend this much time here. Look at chapter 8, verse 7, our next one. There's another reason right here why you should reject the flesh. Another reason why that there should be no dependence upon the flesh. Here it is. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. to be fleshly minded, to be carnally minded, puts you in the status of expressing enmity or hatred against God. I wrote this down. What it actually does is that your flesh is an enemy. If you're carnally minded, carnally means what? Fleshly. To be fleshly minded, carnally minded, worldly minded, guess what? It will cause you to be, as it were, one that fights against God. Where's the believer at that wants to fight against God? Where are the true born again believer that intentionally, knowingly, choosingly fights against God? Oh, I fought against him when I was lost. I fought against him, as Ephesians chapter 2 tells us clearly, that we were enemies of God. We were far off and we opposed God. Amen. What God was for, we was against. What God was against, we was for. But when I got saved, hallelujah, I went from the enemy camp to be enlisted in his army. Thank God. The heart of a believer is not to fight against God. The heart of a believer is to honor him. All right, amen. So the flesh wars against God. That's why we should never listen to it and follow it. Look at chapter 8, verse number 8. So then they that are after the flesh, oh, come on now. Listen to this emphatic, dogmatic word coming up. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. God says, if you want to know why, that you need to have a knot of salvation in your life, walk not after the flesh. Here's why. Because walking after the flesh cannot, will not, will never please God. Now listen, that don't mean nothing to you unless pleasing God means something to you. Why would I worry about the flesh, and its effects on my life? Why would I worry about that if I'm not really interested in pleasing God? What would happen if RBT was filled with people that wanted to please the Lord? You know what Lord's give us to me. You know what the definition of carnality is? Somebody wants to please themselves. The very nature of your flesh is selfishness. Say amen right there. Lord, help us, Jesus, amen. The flesh cannot please God, cannot please God. And I put in parentheses right there, nor can God please them. God can create worlds, but he cannot please a carnal heart. Wow. We're having a time. Look at chapter number 8, verse 13. I've already read that one, so I'll move on. Chapter 8, verse 13. They that live after the flesh, you'll die. And my last thought on that one is this. Brother Ivan, why we should not live after the flesh, why we should walk not, I'm dealing with the knot of salvation right now. Walk not. Why? Because my flesh is not, cannot go to heaven. Why would I want to walk after my flesh when the Bible never says anything about my flesh going beyond the dirt? Say, well, that's good. Some of you looking at me a little funny. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 50, which is the resurrection chapter of the Bible. Here's what the Bible says. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You say, well, what's the deal in there, preacher? The biblical destination of your flesh is the ground from which it came. Now, how many of us know that believers is going to live on beyond the grave? Thank God. Are you listening? Why would I want to walk after the flesh when I know the flesh is going back to the ground, the dust from which it came? And there are several scriptures to say that and prove that. Amen. Why would I want to listen to that, be led by it, fed by it, lean on it, the flesh, when it's just going to die and it's going back to the dust from whence it came? Why would I want to follow that? The flesh is not going to heaven. Amen. You say, well, what's going to be the deal? The flesh is going to go back to the ground. The spirit's going to go to God who gave it. And on resurrection morning, thank God, your spirit's going to reunite with a resurrected, brand new body. Not flesh, not a fleshly body. Amen. But a glorious body fashioned like unto him. Thank God. So I shouldn't want to follow the flesh because of that. Well, amen. I didn't get where I wanted to go. Maybe that's what we needed this morning. Maybe that's where we needed to get this morning. Walk not. You know, let me say this to you. You know when you lose your joy, you know why that is? Because you've listened to, somewhere along the way, you listened to the flesh, looked at the flesh, was led by the flesh, leaned on the flesh, somehow or another, every time. Listen, I'm talking about every time, Brother Rob, every time, not 90%, every time that I've been defeated, every time that I have had spiritual decline in my life, every time, it's when the flesh was in the driver's seat. You said, preacher, I'm miserable this morning. Duh, wonder why. Don't blame it on a circumstance. Come on now. We've all got them. We could pass the microphone around this morning and get testimonies of troubles, and we'd all be wanting some kind of painkiller before the service is over. I mean, there's that much in this service. There's that many things in this service right here, just in this congregation, that's depressive. And when I'm defeated, it's when I'm focusing on those things, when I'm listening to that voice, when I'm looking at those things. And I do my share of that. May God help us. May God help us. Walk not after the flesh. And let me tell you, if you're here lost, let me give you this. Your flesh don't want to get saved. No, let me correct that. Your flesh don't want you to get saved. The flesh cannot get saved. The flesh cannot get saved. It is not saved. Are you listening? It still is weak and wicked as it's ever been. That's why we need to walk after the Spirit. That's the new one. That's the new statement coming right along next. Is who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Thank God there's an alternative. There's a new lifestyle. There's a new ownership, a new captain on board, a new course, new direction in our life. It's not, listen, come on now. Let me just hit it right here, Lick. It's not just a bunch of knots. Walk not and taste not. It's not a bunch of don'ts. Isn't that right? Thank God the Bible said walk not after the flesh. That's biblical. That's there. And it was said first. To identify them which are in Christ Jesus, the first thing said is that they walk not after the flesh. But it didn't end with a period there. He says, goes right into the next statement. Who walk after the Spirit. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And just as the same thing in verse number 5 stated, that those that are after the flesh do what? Mind the things of the flesh. The verse goes on. Likewise, they that are after the Spirit do mind the things of the Spirit. The Spirit of God will be in charge. The Spirit of God will be, amen. Listen, He'll be leading your life. I wonder how many people collapses on verse 14. Romans 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are, who? They that are being led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I think we'd have revival probably if we started nailing that verse real tight in our churches again. Amen. Get rid of your plug-ins on your spiritual life. You say, what do you mean, preacher? After church tonight, some of you maybe even after church this morning, you'll reach in there and get that plug and unplug it. And then comes next Sunday or whenever next time you plug it back up. Well, it's time for me to be a Christian again and go listen to the right kind of music. Get rid of the plugs. Realize the one controlling our life is a person. He is the Holy Spirit. As many, that's all of us, that's all inclusive. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Most of our struggles in the Christian journey is when we are refusing His leadership and we're wanting to mix in a little carnal with the spiritual. And it don't mix. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Thank God for the now salvation. Thank God for the no of salvation. But thank God for the not of salvation as well. I don't know about you. Well, I mean, I do, but I'm going to just use myself. I'm glad I'm not walking the path I once walked. I have no desire to walk that path. Oh, no. No desire to go back where I once was. Thank God you find Jesus through His earthly ministries recorded in the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and peoples whose lives He touched, they never were the same. Blind Bartimaeus never was tapping along, stumbling around no more. The blind man never needed to be led no more. Amen. The man sick of palsy took up his bed and hit the road, buddy. And by the way, since I've already dealt with this point, no need coming back to it. In Matthew 9, that word walk not after the flesh. The word walk is used in Matthew 9 with the man sick of palsy when Jesus said, take up thy bed and walk. Here's a man that couldn't walk, had to be carried, he's paralyzed. Now he's coming down the street with his bed rolled up on his shoulder. What's the purpose of that? Why didn't just Jesus say, hey, just leave your bed and go back to your house, go to your friends? No, I want you to put that bad boy up on your shoulder. I want you to take that sleeping bag and tote it through town and let it be a visible testimony. I'm not the man that used to be carried on this bed. Now I have been touched and I'm carrying the bed. Hallelujah. My walk is changed. My walk reveals that Jesus Christ has done a work in my life. Amen. Hallelujah. Boy, that blesses me all over right there. What happened to you, sir? Oh, let me tell you about it. I'm not what I used to be. We sung about it. Brother Craddock, youth choir sung about it. I've been changed. I'm not the creature I once was. I magnify the grace of God on that. Listen, I'm not boasting at all of any reformation on my part. Oh, I've just changed and I'm straightened up and I'm doing better. Listen, you don't need that. You need life. You can't live a life you don't have. If you're here lost, tell you what, you don't need recapping. How many of the older ones in here remember going to the tire store and getting recaps? Say amen right there. That's all we ever rode on. Them recaps. I mean, we didn't have a whole lot. I mean, God blessed us enough to where we had enough to get by. You know, Daddy worked hard, but that's the only kind of tires we'd run. Daddy'd run. Them recaps. You know what that is? Take a tire that's wore out, slick, no tread, and go down there and just put a layer of tread over top of it and glue it. They called them recaps. And sometimes they'd hang on for a while, and sometimes they'd fly off. Amen. You don't need recap. Why? Underneath the cap is the old wore out tire that once was. Amen. God is not in the... Amen. Let me preach a minute. God is not in the recapping business. God is not just wanting to take something and renovate it. God is not wanting to take your life and just might patch it up and put some duct tape on it and paint over it. No, God takes the... and makes you a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. That's good. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.